Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
And in this episode of The Property Exchange, what's happening to rental markets now? Are rural properties still in vogue, or are we seeing a return to the cities? In lockdown, the rental market boomed in the countryside as tenants left the bright lights for green fields and more space. But they're starting to return to our towns and cities with the prospect of offices beginning to reopen and clubs and restaurants back in operation. So what's the outlook for rents? And what are the opportunities now for investors? With me to look at this is our regular podcast expert, Dominic Agace, Chief Executive of Winkworth. And to give the view from one key rural market, we have Lisa Jacobs from the Winkworth office in Devizes, Wiltshire. Dominic, rents, what's the big picture? Across the offices, are you seeing any big shifts in the rental market?
I think we look at the UK for us as three different markets. So there's prime central London, there's the sort of suburban outer London, then there's the country markets outside of that, such as Devizes. And I think, as you said, that there was a big move out of London to the country, and that as a result of the pandemic, and it's been incredibly busy in the country markets for rentals. And that's continued this year. I mean, we've seen we're tracking sort of 2017 numbers because of the nature of 2020 and the lockdown. And we saw applicants for rental properties in the country 38% ahead of the same period in 2019. So it's been very busy there. I think what we're beginning to see, though, is an element of a return to London. And I think the big question is, how much of a return is that? There's obviously some companies who have come out and said everyone needs to be back, and some who are going for more of a hybrid approach. But again, looking at our statistics, it seems that London has woken up this year in the rental market. I think everyone either moved to the country or renewed their contracts and stayed put last year. But this year, we're seeing a lot of movement, and it's pretty similar to the country, with applicants 37% ahead of 2019.
Is the flight to the country still going on, though?
I think it is. I don't think it will come fully back to London. I think London will endure and people will come back and they'll come for the lifestyle. And it's a young city and will continue to be a young city for people to make their careers. I think people still want space. They still want to live in the country. So I think it will come off with a boil, which was obviously incredible post the first release of the first lockdown. But I think the demand will endure.
There's a lot of talk about permanent shifts having happened in the property market, both in sales and in rentals. Do you think it's too early to say that these trends that we see now are the trends that we'll see in, say, 10 years' time?
Yeah, I think it is. I think there's a, we've got a, we're hopefully only just coming out of the pandemic. And so, it's all to be decided, really. I think there is an interesting debate going on between employees, employers, and people with their friends about how they want to live. And we'll see how that will play out. As I said, the early signs are that there's a significant number of people who will be coming back to the offices in London. And so I see all these things somewhere in between the two stories, really. I mean, it's not a total departure from London and the office living near your offices. And it's not a complete move to the country.
So is the ideal rental property now a biggish flat, a house?
Yes, very much so. So a bit like the sales market, really people, first floor flats aren't as popular as they have been in the past. It's really people looking for the same things, really, which is space. So, people want the garden flat, really, or the house with the garden, or the communal gardens for the house to back onto. So it's very much driven by the house market. And I think we saw, talking about the London market, the country market, we've seen rents go up and across the board, really, sort of 10%, which is a huge number. In London, what's interesting is we saw rents come down a huge amount. So since the pandemic, rents in central London were 20% off in some areas. But what we've seen subsequently, sort of in the last, literally last 3 or 4 months, is that the houses and the garden flats have come right back. So we would anticipate that the rents will come back to pre-pandemic levels. The sort of flats, if you like, and the first floor flats may take a little longer. I mean, maybe looking at sort of a year programme for them to catch up. But houses in popular areas with gardens in London have caught right back up.
If you were looking now to get a bargain in the rental market in London, to live somewhere where you've always dreamed of living, where would you start looking?
So I think I would probably, I mean, I'm as the previous podcasts have talked about, I'm a fan of Notting Hill. So I would try and get myself into Notting Hill, I think probably too late for houses, but you could pick up some lovely, lovely flats there with huge high ceilings.
What do you think investors, buy-to-let investors, landlords, whatever you call them, have learnt during the pandemic? What are the lessons they'll take out of this?
I think it's been difficult for them, really difficult. I suppose the quality of the tenant is everything, isn't it, really? I mean, that's what's proven, the sort of the way it evolved and the legislation that came through, no one saw coming, and so no one could have avoided. But I suppose those who made sure that they worked with an agent that got them the best quality of tenant, not just the best price, has proved invaluable, as those have been discussions really with tenants over the last year or so about rents and making sure it's affordable for them, and also the landlord can continue to meet their needs and sort of requirements. So I think that would be the big learning of it all. I think it's such a sort of freak event, really, that I don't know whether they're sort of ongoing lessons that one should change one's investment strategy on the back of. I mean, as I've said in previous podcasts, I think Central London it's unique this time around because it hasn't led the recovery out of the pandemic. It's sort of following the other markets. And so that won't happen again unless there's another pandemic, and God forbid that.
Landlords, are they adding to their portfolios at the moment?
So I think it's in the different markets. So in the country markets, definitely. I think there's a strong case for it. Prices going up. In the sales market, in property prices, and in the rental market. So, and the cost of entry compared to, say, a London property is far lower. So I think there's investment in the buy-to-let sector in the country markets. I think there's been a selling off, somewhat sadly, in the London market because of, I suppose, they've had a bad last year. There's been some tax changes by the government which have knocked the yields. And there hasn't been capital growth for, you know, a number of years, really, since 2014. So there has been a bit of a reduction of available rental properties. What does that mean, I suppose, is that the obvious answer is that, you know, rental prices will at some point start to move up beyond the pandemic levels and further, because people will need accommodation and there's less available in London through the private rental market than there was.
Are landlords finding finance easy to get?
Yeah, I think there's a particular problem with the financing side of things. I think the problem is really the leverage. So really the result of the tax changes removing the interest relief that allowed you to offset your salary against your rental income, tax and rental income. What that's really meant is that, you know, if you were 80% loan to value, that's maybe underwater now in terms of a yield. So you need to reduce that loan to value to, you know, 50 to 60% to ensure that you're positive on your yield. And that has definitely had an effect, combined with a 3% surcharge for landlords to acquire, on stamp duty for landlords to acquire second properties. So both of those reasons, those things have been factors for landlords.
If Rishi Sunak, the Chancellor, were in the studio with us now, what would you suggest to him that he does for the rental market, which after all provides homes for about a fifth of the population?
Yeah, exactly. It's an important part of the market, particularly in London, where I think it's around 30% is the private rental sector. So it supplies homes for a lot of young professionals coming to work, build their careers, start off in London. Yeah, that's critical that there is that stock there, and there's nothing really to replace it. So we need to make it to be there, and for London to be affordable for them to come, to ensure it's will endure as a sort of global centre. So what I suppose the overarching sort of theory, or kind of the model he should take, is that there needs to be a balance between tenant and landlord. So, you know, over the years, it's swung between one and t'other, depending on different governments, and too far one way is negative and too far the other way is negative. So they need to ensure there's transparency in contracts and arrangement between landlords and tenants. And there is a balance of fairness, and landlords at the same time can, dare I say, evict tenants because otherwise they won't invest in the properties in the first place. So balance is really what I'd ask him for.
So Dominic has shared with us his views on what's happening on the overall rental market. But the most dominant trend of past months has been the flight to the countryside. So we're joined by Lisa Jacobs from Winkworth's Devizes office, that's Devizes in Wiltshire, a lovely market town, to give us a real insider's view of what's happening in one of those markets. But first of all, Lisa, for those who don't know Devizes, what makes it special?
Well, Devizes is a beautiful market town in the middle of Wiltshire, at the heart of which is the lovely Market Square, which is surrounded by beautiful Georgian buildings. I think we've got over 500 listed buildings in the centre of Devizes. So there's a great history to it. We've got a castle, which has been there since the 11th century, and one of its earliest occupants, Queen Matilda, vested on the town the permission to have a weekly produce market, which is still going strong. And Thursdays is market day, and the town is very busy and vibrant on those days. We have Wadworth, which is still a family-run business, the big brewery, the famous 6X beer. And they still deliver their beer through the town by Shire Horse and Dray. So we have that clopping through past the office every week, which is just delightful. It's within easy reach of London. You can be in London within 2 hours. And to the west, you've got Bath, Bristol, you've got Salisbury to the south. So it's you know, got lots of really good transport links and very easy to get to different places.
It's on my bucket list already.
Yes,
I definitely want to go.
Well, and of course, you can also visit Stonehenge, Avebury. There's lots of amazing things.
We can understand where people were starting to move there. But tell us, is it a typical rural market or are there some special factors at play?
I think it is fairly typical. There's no universities. There isn't a train station. So it's not influenced by either of those two things, as some other more rural markets might be. But geographically, it's lots of really good transport links. I think the one thing that's particularly special about us is the large number of military families that we have. We've seen 4,000 to 5,000 military troops coming back from Germany, settling in Wiltshire for the Tidworth and Bulford camps. A lot of them are purchasing their forever family homes now. They're coming back, they're starting to put down roots. They may still have access to quarters, in which case they are then renting those homes out. And I certainly deal with a number of military families who are doing that. But I would say it was a fairly typical rural market.
Now, people who are coming down from London, leaving the city, thinking Devizes is the place where I might like to put down roots, but I'm going to rent first. What are they asking you for?
I think the pandemic has put into very sharp focus the importance of outside space. And I think a lot of people coming from London, that's their main focus. Has it got a garden? They almost don't care what the house looks like as long as it's got a garden. Yeah, they're looking for a nice village. We've got some beautiful surrounding villages. And a lot of people perhaps don't want to be in the centre of town. They want a village. We've got some great villages, a lot of which have actually managed to keep hold of a shop as well. And they're looking for nice family homes. They're looking for good schools. We're very lucky. We've got very good schools in the surrounding area, both in the private and the state sector. And I think they find the relaxation of competition for spaces a refreshing change when they're coming out of London. And of course, they're looking to be able to work from home. So with the rollout of much faster broadband into rural areas now, they can set up from home. They're looking for the home office and probably the commute perhaps 2 or 3 times a week rather than every day. And they're finding they can do that with ease now and, of course, get a lot more for the money.
So are they looking to have short-term contracts or longer-term?
Yes. I think usually if they're coming out of London, they are looking to buy eventually. But what they're wanting to do is settle, get a tenancy, and then they can explore the area and decide where they actually really want to buy. I think the shortage of stock which everyone's talking about at the moment, has made the need to rent even more paramount because they simply aren't finding the properties that they could buy. Some are lucky and they pick something up, but yeah, it's that short-term rental in order to let them explore and find something that they really want is key. That's slightly against some of what my landlords want, because I have a lot of what I call long-term landlords who don't want to be changing their tenants every 6 months. They're looking for tenants who are going to take it for 2 or 3 years. So sometimes they find the perfect rental property, but actually the landlord doesn't want to rent for 6 months. So there's always that going on.
So we're talking about landlords facing all types of challenges. How was it for them during lockdown, and how do they need to adapt in the future?
Well, I have a very small lettings portfolio. I've built it up organically from scratch. So I'm quite lucky in that I wasn't dealing with an enormous number of landlords, and I have a very close relationship with all of them. And I suppose I had sort of 3 or 4 tenants who really struggled. And so really through lockdown, my job was simply managing that. We managed to negotiate a drop in rent for a period of time and then an increase in rent to make up the arrears. And actually, it all went incredibly smoothly. The landlords were willing and able to help the tenants get through it. And the tenants then repaid their arrears on time. And I didn't have any issues with it. And I think the landlords were incredibly willing to help. They were very flexible, and that was key for me being able to do my job and look after the tenant. And there was a recognition that actually this was a good tenant in a bad situation, and we had to just get them through it. And there had to be flexibility on all sides. So I think landlords definitely have to be flexible. And that means not being entirely reliant on the full rental in order to pay a mortgage. So obviously, if the landlord was unable to get mortgage relief, then there was going to be a real problem there. But I hope we're not going to see that now. I hope we've come through that the pandemic now and the furlough scheme's coming to an end. People's jobs are starting to work themselves out, and we're not going to have that crisis situation that landlords are going to have to face. As Dominic mentioned earlier, quality tenants are key, and that's what I find my landlords really want from me. They want me to find a quality tenant, and actually another £50 or £100 a month on the rent is less important than having that quality long-term tenant.
Where do you sense rents are going to be going in future? Staying level, or maybe is there going to be some increases?
Well, I think it's interesting. I think there's a bit of a sense that rents are going through the roof at the moment, and I'm not sure that that's entirely true. I think the difference we're seeing at the moment is pre-pandemic, applicants had much more choice. There was a lot more stock on the market, so they would be coming in and perhaps putting in cheeky offers below the guide because they had a choice. It's a very different dynamic now. There's a very big lack of stock, and so applicants are desperate to secure something. And so what I'm finding is people are coming in very much on guide, and they're never even thinking about going below that. Or indeed, they're going above guide in order to try and secure it. But I am finding that I'm having 5 or 6 really good quality tenants. I couldn't put a cigarette paper between them for every property. And that's without even marketing it at the moment. I don't even need to put it on the internet. So I think there is a strength in the rents, and obviously landlords will probably start to try and take advantage of that. But it will always be capped by affordability, because at the end of the day, these tenants have to go through referencing, and there is a very strict formula for affordability, which they either tick the box or they don't. So the two market forces are working either end of the process, really.
The evidence of demand for rental properties in the town, is it encouraging some buy-to-let investors back into that market to buy any available properties?
Yes, I've seen in the last 3 weeks, I've had 2 buy-to-lets, which we've sold and then had the opportunity to let it. One were an older couple nearer retirement who were looking to invest in something else in the town to rent. Another was a first-time buyer who is in the forces and posted away and who's bought something very much at the bottom end of the market, a first-time buyer property, which he's then letting. So yes, we're seeing a lot of that. I don't have very many what I would call big portfolio professional landlords in Devizes, which is different from London, where you see a lot more of those. In Devizes, it tends to be military families renting out their family homes, or landlords who are doing it very much on an amateur level, for want of a better word. They're just having one property and renting it out. And those actually are really needing the agents to hold their hands, because they don't know, they just don't know the law. So my job is very important then to actually make sure that they do it all right. So
coming back to you, Dominic, landlords who've been in the game for a while, are they adding to their portfolios? Are they keen to get back in the game?
I think what we've seen is consolidation, actually. So the large portfolio landlords have sold off elements to lower their leverage. And that's been a feature because of the yields were lowered by the tax changes. So we've seen landlords reduce the amount of properties they hold and then continue. And I think now is becoming the time when obviously clearly there's an argument in the country straight away now to invest in buy-to-let, but also in London, because one of the things that's always been true is that it depends what you want in your investment from a landlord. So, you know, the story in London has always been very bad in terms of yields versus the country. And so it suits a different type of investor, really. For an income yield, you really want to be in the country markets. So, if you go sort of more extreme, if you go to Plymouth, then you're sort of getting 10% yields there. So, but the capital growth historically hasn't been there. Interestingly, it is there at the moment. But that's one type of investment. I mean, the other type of investment, so it slightly allows for a higher leverage in terms of more gearing on your investment, because you've got a higher return on the rent and so you can have a lower entry point. But then you look at the sort of London, in particular central London, and you say, well, that was always a capital growth story. So you've got a part of the market which has gone down by 20% in value since 2014 and is due to open up in due course and potentially reverse that trend. And so if you have more equity in your purchase, then you can accommodate a lower yield to cover the costs and wait for the capital growth. So the sort of investment decisions of landlords do vary dependent on personal criteria, as I suppose is obvious to state.
So as we've seen, there's a lot going on in the rental market, both in the country and in the town. However, sadly, that's it for this month's Property Exchange podcast. Thanks again to Dominic and to Lisa. Great to have you with us. Join us next time. Why don't you subscribe if you haven't already, when we'll once again be talking about some of the key trends in the residential property market.
This has been the Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.